'Tis the season for holiday parties, holiday lunches and goodies at the office, and of course, holiday dinners. As we plan out our upcoming holiday dinners, for Christmas it's always turkey at my house, always has been, I guess it always will be, we decided to check in again with our resident historian Bill Loomis, find out just what Christmas would have been like in the Michigan of days past. Bill, it's pretty well accepted Charles Dickens created that Victorian Christmas that we tend to think of as Christmas. But take us back to the earliest days of pioneers and settlers in Detroit and Michigan. Was there a Christmas celebration back in the 1600s?
They were doing French Christmas in the 1701 up through 1820s, really. It was still basically a French town. So they did a meat pie at night. They had a celebration called Réveillon, which is still celebrated in Quebec and down in New Orleans.
Oh.
It went on during the night. There was no Christmas tree, of course. That came later with the Germans coming to Detroit. But they had a Yule log that they burned, and they would roast turkeys, wild turkeys, and sometimes geese or ducks suspended from a cord in the hearth, and they would turn and baste it as they went. They had meat pies that they were basically ground meat. It started out as pigeon pies. They're called touchers.
Hmm.
And, they really feasted well, and brandy for the men and cordials for the ladies, and it was quite a big deal.
And it was a good long feast. So would it be Christmas Day, night. Christmas Eve?
It was Christmas Eve. It went from the night. It started like around 1 a.m. Or it started when they came back from Mass.
Oh, so you do Christmas Eve Mass.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Did Christmas Eve Mass, and you come back and have this big feast that would go on until 8 a.m.
And then sleep it off on Christmas Day.
I think that's what they did. But they did have little gifts in the kids' shoes and stuff like that.
So the gifting and the feasting was right there in those early days.
Oh, yeah.
Then as we moved from being French to being the United States of America, part mm-hmm. of that, how did things evolve?
Actually, Christmas wasn't celebrated until about 1840, the earliest, because Protestants didn't recognize Christmas. That was Catholic. Because the people that came to Detroit were coming from New England once mm-hmm. the Erie Canal opened. And so from about 1820, mid-20s up through 1840s, there was a great immigration of New Englanders and from New York.
So that took till up to not too long before the Civil War then.
Right. It really was after the Civil War that Christmas came on strong in Detroit.
And was part of that because the whole country became enamored of Charles Dickens and A Christmas Carol?
You know, that's really true. And as I said, there were a lot of German immigrants that came over, and Christmas trees came with that. And a lot of the cooking, especially cookies and cakes, you'd start seeing more German Kuchen and things like that.
So we can thank the Germans for the bake fest that
yeah,
we all get into.
That's right. That's right.
So what might have been the typical Christmas feast in Detroit or in Michigan at that time? So we're talking like post-Civil War?
Yeah. Yeah, late 1840s up through Victorian days. They did a big Christmas Day feast, and they would do turkeys, but also geese. They would roast geese or poach geese. They did hams. A lot of times they would do goose pie. There was a famous Christmas goose pie that was made of goose meat along with smoked tongue. They mixed lots of meats together to improve the flavor. But
yeah,
I know.
Nothing says Christmas cheer like smoked tongue.
Yeah, exactly. But that was traditional. And they would also use, along with sage and thyme, they use cinnamon sometimes in flavoring meats. Clove was real popular.
Okay.
Mace, nutmeg, a lot of nutmeg.
That probably came from Europe, did it?
Yeah, it came from the colonies as well because the spices were quite common. You know, they were bringing spices over from the very early days. So they used lots of herbs and not so many herbs, but lots of spices and a lot of some dried herbs.
Because I can remember my first Christmas as a new bride. I married a man from Cork, Ireland, and we were back having Christmas dinner, and there was a turkey with potato stuffing, but there was a wonderful thing called spiced beef, it was beef, and it had the cloves and the nutmeg and the cinnamon. Mm-hmm. Haven't had it then or since, but
Maybe I'll make you one. I made one the other night, and it was a big hit. Yeah.
Wow, yes. That was 1978, and I'm still dreaming about spiced
beef. That's what food does to you.
Yes, it can indeed. Now, what about talk a little about the tree.
Well, Christmas trees back in the early days were pretty dangerous. I mean, they used open candles on Christmas trees.
Boy, oh boy.
Yeah, they fastened them on. They also had really dangerous ornaments. They had real popular were celluloid Christmas ornaments. These were invented. Celluloid was invented in the 1850s, and brought to the States. And, you know, celluloid film.
Yeah, I'm thinking of that next
Even
year.
Today, ping pong balls are made of celluloid.
Okay.
And if you're ever a kid and want to do something really stupid and dangerous,
you
lit those and they go up with obnoxious black smoke. So imagine your trees festooned with those babies along with open flames.
And drying out. I suppose they weren't as careful as we might be.
And then
keep
they used
it watered.
Aniline dye was real popular. It made of real deep purple and deep blue colors. So they had ornaments. They used aniline dye, which is like, let's decorate the tree with gasoline this year. You know, it was really dangerous.
Yeah, boy.
And there was recorded instances over and over about Christmas tree fires. So people, and then they had gas, illuminating gas. They didn't have electric lights. They had what they called illuminating gas. So it was gas nozzles that came out from the wall. And it was real popular to drape evergreens and roping on these open gas things. And so when the kids came down for Christmas, the dad or mom would crank the gas way up for that Christmas experience.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with food writer Bill Loomis. We really call him our resident historian as we kind of dig into what Christmas meals and Christmas celebrations were like in the Michigan of days past. Bill, was there a great difference between the way things might have been done in the cities versus, let's say, up north?
Well, the cities had a much more diverse population. So by the 1890s, there were more people living in Detroit from overseas or that were born overseas. And so the celebrations were much more diverse. And there were more Catholics in Detroit than there were in the rest of Michigan.
Okay.
And it was just cosmopolitan. So there were many more things to look at and see and do. It was a little more exciting, I would think.
I know as a child, I lived for the Laura Ingalls Wilder little house books, but she did a very detailed description of Christmas in the little cabin in the big woods in Wisconsin, which I suspect would probably getting an orange was a big, big deal.
I know. That's right. It was fairly modest, but much beloved. And they didn't, you know, in the settlers' experiences, they went for long times without meat. They ate, you know, gravy mixed with meat fat. And if they caught something and they ate wild meat, that was common. But they would go without salt, without meat for long periods. So a holiday was a big deal if you brought out something special like turkey or a goose or something like that.
Or a peppermint stick.
Yeah.
I remember Laura and Mary were very excited about their peppermint sticks in their stockings. Let's talk about St. Nick. When did Santa start showing up for children to climb up on his lap and whisper wishes?
Yeah, he started coming up during Victorian days too. And that was, again, with the Germans coming around and so that was a big deal back then and exciting for the children.
From what I've heard, and I correct in this, that our popular image of Santa kind of came out of Coca-Cola ads?
Yeah, yeah.
In the 20s?
Yeah, if you look at the early Christmas cards or you look at early advertisements, he's kind of a scary-looking guy in a way. Mm-hmm. He's much more of a woods person and much more European-looking.
Thinner.
And thinner, exactly. If you look at the old Swiss or German images of Santa Claus, he's much more of a normal-looking person but with a big beard.
So
in a way. But a woodsman, he'll have a hooded coat on or something like that.
Okay.
But he's not a big, bushy, hefty fellow with a red nose and all that kind of stuff.
So I suspect between the night before Christmas, with that whole, with Clement Moore's description of his, you know, his belly shook like a bowl full of jelly, that got
that's
him
right.
a little fuzzier and warmer.
Yeah, that's right. The play Tchaikovsky's Nutcracker or stuff like that added to the image of Christmas a lot.
Now, we talk today and grumble about retailers pushing the Christmas season on us to boost sales, but this is nothing really new, is it?
No, that's been going on for long.
As long as there have been retailers.
As long as there are people, and Christmas and retailers, they've been doing the same thing. But I will say people seemed like there was more concern for, say, the counter people, the workers in the stores. They would say there were articles almost every year, make sure to shop early so the counter people don't have to work 12-hour days at the counters. They worked long hours. Mm. And there were lines of people to get in the store. They could barely control the crowds downtown. You had to wait your turn to get in the building. It was so crowded.
Wow.
Yeah, right. But they had great displays, and you'll see pictures of the old days, and you see people lined up all along the sidewalk waiting to get in the store or waiting to get a bus and that kind of thing.
And I can remember very much chestnuts being roasted, vendors right on Woodward selling those.
Yeah, that's right.
I know it's memory lane here, but why not at Christmas time?
I know, who knows?
And there was still concern, was there not, for the less fortunate?
There was. There was a lot. That was a big part of Christmas from the very earliest days. I found in 1847 a request in the Detroit Free Press for people to, it says here, to save a turkey, pig, or some other such thing to provide a Merry Christmas for those who otherwise would return to their beds hungry and starving. That's a long time ago.
That was.
Yeah.
That was.
And they gave Christmas dinners to everybody. I mean, they provided them to prisoners. They provided little gifts for people in the poorhouse. So everybody at that point in time seemed to get something special.
Very fun. Historian Bill Loomis. And if you care to prepare Christmas goose pie from 1828, Bill has kindly provided us with that and some other vintage Christmas recipes. And we have put them on our page for you. Just go to michiganradio.org and click on the stateside link. And you, too, can have Christmas goose pie. It sounds yummy. Bill, always a pleasure talking with you. And
thanks,
have a Merry Christmas.
Yeah, you too.
Coming up, we'll look back at the state's biggest political stories. Zoe Clark and Rick Pluta will join us to remind us of the good, the bad, and the ugly. That's next here on Stateside.